Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I want His will with all my heart." Elizabeth adds, "I say it to Him over and over. Lord, do anything You want with me, at any cost. Work Your will in me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
I want to talk to you tonight about that question, is God still in charge? Most of us have many experiences in life which cause us to be tempted to wonder whether God is really still in charge. And I'm going to begin with an illustration that may seem extremely far-fetched, but I think I'll be able to tie it in with the subject. This last summer, we had a sibling reunion when the six of us children and our spouses got together in Wyoming, where one of my brothers lives. He happens to be the pastor of a church in Cody, and one of the members of his church is the owner of a working cattle ranch. So we went to visit that ranch, and I was absolutely flabbergasted with some of the things that he told us about genetic engineering, which is going on. He said that that very spring, they had produced 76 calves from one cow. Now, to you farmers, that won't be surprising at all, but I was just stunned. And of course, he explained about taking the embryo and splitting it, and then splitting those two halves again to make four and eight and so on, so that there were 76 identical calves, which had been implanted, of course, in 76 different cows from that one cow's embryo. Now, that kind of incredible thing that God has allowed men to learn is the kind of thing that reminds me of the question, is God still in charge? Do we sometimes imagine that we're not going to need Him any longer and that we can run things the way we want to? Well, when we do, of course, we're being very foolish. But God is still in charge. He's up there. He's got the whole world where? In His hands. But there have been a number of times in my life when I was tempted to wonder the same thing. And there were many times on jungle trails where I was not only alert for things like poisonous snakes, but I would be with Quechua Indians who were telling me that this place right here is a place where Alcas wait to spear somebody. You see those footprints there? Those are Alca footprints. You see that broken branch there? That's a symbol that the Alcas have been by. They leave code things through the jungle for each other. There have been times when, well, this one night in particular when I slept in a Quechua Indian house where there had been an attack just the previous day. My daughter, who was then 2 years old, and I were there in that Quechua village, and the Alcas had come and killed one of the Quechua men. This was 2 years after my own husband had been killed by them. And that night, everybody slept on the floor of one house while three or four Quechua men stayed up all night with their guns, sure that there would be another attack. That hymn very often came to my mind. From every evil shall He keep thy soul, from every sin. Now, you have to realize that the five men, when they went into the jungle to try to take the gospel to those Indians whose name was Alcas back in those days, they had sung on the evening of their going, "We rest on Thee, our shield and our defender. We go not forth alone against the foe, strong in Thy strength, safe in Thy keeping tender. we rest on thee, and in thy name we go. 1 week later, God allowed all five of those men to be speared to death. He who had called them to Ecuador, given them a vision to take the gospel to unreached tribes, he who had enabled Nate Saint, the pilot, to discover the whereabouts of the Aucas, and had arranged the weather and a thousand other details week after week after week so that they were able to fly over them, drop gifts, and establish what they felt was a friendly contact. It was that same God who allowed those men to sing that hymn on the eve of their departure for Alca territory. And they prayed together one last time that God would preserve them and direct them and guide them and help them to do his will. And they were speared to death. Is God still in charge? I'm here to say yes, 1,000 times yes. He's got the whole world in his hands. He knows exactly what he's doing. And his word gives us promise after promise after promise that he is a loving God, he is a wise God, he is an omnipotent God. And for my own encouragement and establishment again and again on that rock-solid foundation, which is his word, I've copied these verses which declare that sovereign power of his. And I'm just going to read them very quickly for you. I won't give you all the references. You wouldn't be able to remember them. But these are some of the things that declare that absolutely nothing can possibly happen of which God is not in control. His design, whose purpose is everywhere at work. Our mortal part will be absorbed into life immortal. God himself has shaped us for this very end. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And remember that the next verse tells us what that purpose is, that we might be shaped to the image of his Son. It takes a lot of hammer blows to shape an image. It takes a lot of chippings with a chisel to shape an image. And it takes a lot of rasping with a file. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they will not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God. And it is on those words that I hang my soul, and here's some more of them. All things serve thee. Psalm 119:91. Thy wonderful purposes are all for our good. That's from Psalm 40. God fulfills his purpose for me, Psalm 57. The lots may be cast into the lap, but the issue depends wholly on the Lord. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant, from Psalm 25. My purpose will stand, says the Lord. What I have said, that will I bring about. Philippians 3, the power that enables Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring everything under his control. And 1 Timothy 6:15 has a very interesting translation in J.B. Phillips. He is called the blessed controller of all things. I don't know what your mishap or calamity or misfortune or disaster or catastrophe may be, but is God in charge even of that? I believe that he is. And I know I get hundreds of letters from people saying, I want you to tell me how this that has happened in my life could possibly have anything to do with the will of God. And I think of how Amy Carmichael pointed out, we don't need to know how. We simply know that it does. How in the world am I going to tell them how it fits into the pattern for good? I don't know God's pattern, but I do know that he's working on a pattern, and you and I can only see the wrong side. Many of you know that beautiful poem by Grant Colfax Tuller, "My life is but a weaving betwixt my God and me. I do not choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Sometimes he chooseth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God unroll the pattern and explain the reason why. For the dark threads are as needful in the pattern he has planned as the threads of gold and silver in the weaver's skillful hand. He is in charge. It's not an accident. Nothing happens by chance. It's not undesigned and unintended. Well, what scripture can we look at for that? Well, many, many scriptures, but tonight just let me mention one, the story of Joseph. Joseph's brothers were wicked. They hated him. They were jealous of him. They were murderous in their hearts, and they were going to kill him, and then they found out they could make some money on him, and so they sold him. God allowed that to happen. They sold him. He went into Egypt. He got a job in Potiphar's house, and Mrs. Potiphar took a shine to this handsome young man and did her best to seduce him. In seeking to escape from her evil advances, he left behind his garment, and she used that as proof that he had tried to seduce her. She lied about him. He was put in prison. He was forgotten by his fellow prisoners. Year after year after year went by, and it looks as though God had not paid one bit of attention to Joseph. But you remember that because of all those things, and every single one of those things was necessary in the pattern, God had put Joseph in a position where he was prime minister of Egypt. And he was therefore in a place of power, which enabled him to save the lives of his father and his other brothers who would have starved to death. And in their terror, when they discovered who he was, he said, "You meant it for evil. God meant it for good."
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.